Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Greetings, listener dear, I'm Tom.
I'm Matthew, and welcome to a very exciting episode of Pappy's Flatshare Beef Brothers Cold Cuts.
Old friend, welcome back to a format that never quits.
It never quits. Now the spam folder is bulging. I check it on the reg now. I'm checking it every couple of minutes.
We've got a new lease of life now. I tell you, the floodgates have opened and we are drowning in beef.
It's great. But that's
it's given us a new lease of life.
That said, if you do want to send your beefs, please do send your beefs in to beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. And your beefs could be solved by a fantastic guest like the one we've got today, Tom Neenan, who's absolutely brilliant.
Oh, a true gentleman of the comedy world, Tom Neenan.
A true gentleman of leisure as well.
Exactly. He used to be in a double act with Nish Kumar, the gentleman of leisure. That's when we first met him, I would say.
Great.
One of the best comedy writers in town. He works on a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah. Very funny.
And he's also a very talented painter as well, or illustrator.
He is, yeah. Yeah, it's always, you know, like, because basically, this is basically all we've got, really, isn't it? This is all we've got. And then you meet people who are not only kind of more brilliant than you, but also have other talents that they don't even make.
Real talents, or like hobbies.
Hobbies that are better. Like, I think he is a better caricaturist than I am a professional joke writer.
Yeah.
So it's unbelievable. He's great. Anyway, he's coming up on the podcast, so look forward to that. But first, we've got to promote the Flatshare Slam Downs that are coming up.
We simply must
promote the ones that are coming up start of next month, September the 5th and 6th. We have got two Flatshare Slam Downs back to back. The Monday,
Anya, the way we like them,
exactly. Monday is Anya Magliano and Alistair Beckett King, two brilliant performers. Tuesday, Jen Ives and Will Duggan, also two brilliant performers. Currently all up at the Edinburgh Festival. So if you don't get a chance to see them up at the Edinburgh Festival, this is very much the next best thing. See them slightly out of their comfort zone.
See them desperately fatigued. See them desperately fatigued from a month at the Fringe as well. All four of these acts are falling into the trap. You should never book yourself anything in September if you've been up at the Fringe. And we are very early in September, so we're going to be, you know, let's find out just what they've got left in the tank.
They're good. Four performers coasting on fumes, and the three of us who've been coasting on fumes for the last 7 years. So it really is going to be a night that will definitely in some way happen. So that is, if you want to go to eventbrite.co.uk and search for Pappy's Flatshare Slam Down, tickets are available there. If you are a member of the Patreon, tickets are, I think, £7 each as opposed to £9. If you want to go and see both shows together, tickets are £15 for both nights together. It's a real treat. I think you should definitely go and book that right now. There'll be a link in the show notes. I think you should go and do that right now. Stop whatever you're doing. Book the tickets, then come back to this episode and enjoy it. This is the wonderful Tom Neenan for a Beef Brothers Cold Cuts.
Well, if you've got a problem, don't call it a problem. If you've got a problem, call it a beef. If you've got a beef, maybe we can help you. Beef Brothers sorting out your beef. Cold
Cuts. Right, so Tom Neenan.
Hello.
Tom Neenan.
Woo! Tom Neenan, everybody.
It's me.
It's Tom Neenan. Of course Tom Neenan. Of course, who else would it be? Exactly. When you say Tom Neenan, you expect it to be Tom Neenan, right?
See, you picture my face, and that's how the human brain works. And there's no getting around it.
A name synonymous with yourself.
Guilty as charged.
It's great to have you on the podcast. So let's talk about your flat living arrangement.
Certainly.
What's your setup? And what kind of a person are you to live with?
I think I'm a good person to live with. So I live in a house because I stopped eating avocados, guys. It turns out that
if you
is
want it enough.
Yeah, that is the key. I'm quite tidy. I like tidying up. The only thing is, I'm very territorial over the TV. I really want to have. I can't really abide. For instance, Crosby, I know you love Love Island. I couldn't handle that. I couldn't handle like knowing that there was Love Island going to be on. I need to like basically
you can't stand the idea that it's even inside the box.
Even if you're going to not necessarily if you're going to be watching it, but if it's on in your house.
Yeah. If I just hear it, I couldn't even like give you a funny bit of dialogue that I might hear, because I literally have. I'm not saying this in a sort of boasty way. I just have no idea what kind of stuff gets said. They meet by the fire pit. Yeah.
Welcome to Love Island.
That nailed it.
It's not a bad Sterling.
That's one of them, isn't it?
It's
not bad. Really.
See you next week on Love Island.
Great.
It's moving that's slowly awesome. Further down the country.
Chris Ramsey's taken over, right?
Yeah. Apparently so, yeah.
Cool, blimey. Welcome to Love Island.
Welcome to Love Island, yeah.
Love Island, aka Canvey Island.
Yeah.
So you won't. And so you're tidy, but you're also a snob.
How many people do you live with, Tom?
I live with my wife.
Oh, that's a relief. I didn't want you kind of managing the TV tastes of five or six people.
No, that would stress me out way too much, because I find it already stressful when we have to settle on. Basically, the whole living situation is just an argument over what series we're going to be watching next.
Yeah.
So that would be, it would have the idea of having other voices in that who could say, nope, only Murders in the Building, please. And I'd be like, already seen it. Better Call Saul, and it would just become like it'd become a war of attrition in front of the TV, and it'd be ugly.
Is there a world where your wife is getting up at 2 o'clock in the morning to cram ITV2 before you get up? Like a secret lemonade drinker type vibe.
Definitely. She's sneaking down. She wants to see the stand-up sketch show. She's like, but knows that I can't.
Who doesn't?
Yeah, exactly.
It's a good show.
It's a good show. It's a lot of fun. And she'll be and she'll be secretly watching. Chances are she will be up. She won't be waking up at 2. She'll have been still awake to 2, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah. That's when the best stuff on ITV2 kicks in.
Yeah.
She's watching a lot of American Dad.
Loves it. Loves American Dad. That alien?
Welcome
what's his deal?
To American Dad.
Coming up next on American Dad. Tom.
No, that's not bad. That's not bad.
Let me just ask, are you the continuity announcer for ITV2?
Guilty.
What a twist that would be.
Yes.
What a twist.
Those little rubber ducks and stuff that they have. I'd say the best idents on ITV2. They have the best idents and little kind of interstitials.
So you tune in just to catch that, but it's going off.
Yeah, no, thank you. I want to see those little the bouncy donuts that they have, and then I'm gone.
Bouncy donuts, then it's BFI player till midnight.
Mubi. I want to be on Mubi.
Only Mubi in the building.
Exactly. That's what it says above my door, the front door, to warn people.
So are you like, are there things that you would like to see that your wife isn't interested at all? Is there anything that you go like, oh, that's just hanging in the balance. I'm never ever going to see that.
If it's got a horror tinge,
yeah.
If it's a bit brutal, the new Game of Thrones, probably she's not going to be into that, but I want to see the new Game of Thrones. So stuff like that will end up being, you know.
Well, here's my question
down.
For you. What's your what is your compromise watch? What's the furthest you're prepared to go away from
on
your own
on
taste
either side, yeah.
towards her taste and her for you?
What's her taste? We've projected ITV2 onto her, which is a great way to watch Love Island, by the way.
Exactly.
I want the entire series of Love Island off of Tom Neenan's wife's back.
Yeah.
Yeah. puts on a nice crisp shirt like Don Draper out of Mad Men. here we go. My wife and I sit with her facing the other way. She's watching something else entirely. She doesn't
Pops
mind.
Pops collar if you want subtitles. Yeah.
She's watching film 4 on my belly, isn't she? It's a weird setup you two have.
Yeah. And we recently watched The Wilds, to answer your question, which was a good compromise. I don't know if you've
love
seen
it.
That.
Absolutely love it, yeah. I've that not seen good. The most recent series of it, but the first series of that was great stuff.
It's really good.
That's the sort of stuff that my wife and I watch. Basically stuff that's probably meant to be watched by 16-year-old girls.
Yeah.
Right? It's like that and Never Have I Ever. I keep recommending
Never
shows.
Never Have I Ever.
Yeah, I love that. I keep recommending shows to people and they're like, Is this like something off the Disney Channel you're recommending?
The other one is Panic. Panic was another one where they get like high schoolers do dares and it's like cool that it's in America.
I've not seen Panic, but sounds good.
Well worth it.
Sounds
well
right up my alley. So and so yeah, so what's so Compromise is the Wilds. Compromise
yeah, that's got a bit, is sits in the middle. Yeah.
Bit of gore.
Bit of tiny, yeah. You know. Gore for me, little bit of nasty cauterizing wounds for me, and then ladies sort of getting on for her, because that's what that's what women like, isn't it?
And is multi-screening an option in this situation?
I mean, I'm so awful. I don't know about you guys, I have like four screens at once. I'll have my laptop, I'll have my phone, I'll have the TV, I'll have like a game, I'll just get a Game Boy or like a Nintendo DS just to like round it off. There are some shows where I'm like, I'm going to give this, I'll deign them with my full attention. Like, you know, Better Call Saul, they've only spent like, you know, a million hours making this the best show on TV. So I'll tell you what, I'll give them my full attention for an hour.
For a bit.
Yeah, exactly. which is obviously, you know, like being in Edinburgh, like you go like, okay, you got an hour and then I'm off. Yeah.
I have basically that rule for all telly. Whereas I will put my phone in another room. I'll put it. It will usually be in the kitchen, or it will be if I have to have it in the room, like I'm streaming from the phone. I'll have the phone on a different piece of furniture to the one I'm sitting on.
That's impressive.
So that is the rule I have for all telly. Weirdly, not the rule I have for my own children.
Yeah, which is, you've got to draw the line somewhere.
It's really bad. Yeah.
Like, do they have a writer's room? No.
Do you ever have to pretend at the last minute that you're taking a photo of them when your wife comes in? Are you on your... No, look adorable.
Just recording a voice note about how much I love my whole family.
Just adorable picture I was taking.
It's going to be an audio montage I was going to give you for your birthday. Sorry about that.
No, look, it looks like you're just replying to Owen Jones on Twitter. What's that? No, it just looks like that. It looks like that. It's a lock screen. It's weird.
I'm sending him a photo of our child.
This is who you're fighting for. This is the future that you're fighting
Keep
for.
Keep up the good fight, brother.
That is watertight. Beer from the sorting out your beef.
Solve some beefs here.
Yay.
Oh, only beefs in the building.
Only beefs in the building. Parry, do you want to start us off?
Groundhog Day dinner beef from Rebecca via beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. Please get in touch, or thank you for getting in touch. And sorry, Matthew didn't check his folder where the junk mail was going, and you've been sending lots of beefs, and now we found them.
Well, can I say as well, a little addendum to that. So Tom, just to keep bringing you up to speed, basically I put out an appeal going, no one sends us any beefs for this podcast. I don't know what's going on. Yeah. You know, we know there are loads of people listening. Why aren't you sending us beefs? And after doing like, what was about an 8.5 minute appeal on one of our pods recently, I then found out they've just all been going to spam.
Oh no.
They all include the phrase, please help me, or can you help, or this kind of thing, which is like all phishing emails. But now we've got a new thing where people who've sent them before that I have seen have started sending them going, oh, I guess this one must have been in the spam. No, mate. No.
Oh dear.
Our spam excuse is gone now. Groundhog Day dinner beef from Rebecca. Yeah. Please help me. My housemate / fiance of 22 years.
Blimey.
I mean,
a 22 year engagement.
Well, or is it like 20 years a housemate, 2 years a fiance? I don't know.
I'd like that. That's quite. There's a romance to that, isn't there?
Yeah. Well, that's almost a title.
But... There's already something to dig into there. Please help me. So, my housemate fiance of 22 years loves to cook the same meal for 2 or 3 days on the trot. He doesn't batch cook. He'll prepare fresh, exactly the same meal day after day.
Oh.
He knows loads of recipes, so it's not lack of choice. And I work in a shop, so it's not lack of access to ingredients. By the third and fourth day, even if it's a meal I like, the idea of the same thing puts me off. Mm. I have suggested having the meal on alternate days. Yeah. I suggested I cook something instead. and I've behaved like an ungrateful child refusing to eat it. Nothing seems to get him out of this routine. I'm very appreciative that he cooks for me. How can I break the cycle without hurting his feelings? Thank you, Team Pappies and guest, Tom Neenan,
that's
of course,
me.
For your invaluable input to my admittedly quite trivial in the grand scheme of things dilemma. Bye, Rebecca. Rebecca, I don't think this is trivial.
No,
this is fascinating.
This is really odd. Now, are there any, and I'm talking to both Toms here, are there any kind of go-to meals? It's often a lunch, isn't it? Because it's something you can do quick that you go, I could pretty much eat that 2 or 3 days on the bounce and not really think too much about it. Are there anything like that that you would ever do?
100%. I think if someone, like, if someone said you have to have the same meal for the rest of your life, I would just think, like, well, that's some, you know, choice that's been removed from me and now I don't have to worry about it. I'll just have, you know, fish and mash every day, bit of parsley sauce.
You've gone for fish and mash.
I don't know where that was. That's the whitest meal it's possible to have.
Oh, you're going to regret that the moment it left. Oh no, fish and mash for the rest of my life.
No,
I'm sorry, the genie has to accept your first answer.
I'm sorry, we've got to go with fish and mash, I'm afraid, sir.
Oh, unspecified,
fish and mash.
And mash, parsley sauce. I'm gutted about that decision. I could have gone for anything else. Do we know what the meal is, by the way?
Well, I'm guessing it's a different meal each week, right?
Yeah.
But that repeats every single day.
Oh, see, I feel guilty for having... I've fallen into a bit of a pattern now of the same roster of meals every week.
Potato roster.
Like, I've got my roster. But you know, like, I've got my kind of menu for the week now, and I'm kind of a little bit on repeat.
Yeah.
But I felt guilty enough for that. But doing the same meal 3 days on the trot.
That's a lot, isn't it?
It's but also then, like, it's not even Tupperwaring it up and going, well, that'll, you know, I can, you know, either the same thing
that
again.
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah, or repurpose it in a different way, you know.
A spag bol, a pasta bake.
Exactly.
Nice.
That's exactly where I am.
Maybe turn it into a burrito
tomorrow.
Or something, you know.
Mm. Yeah. Exactly. Oh, hello.
Ooh.
A little bit of, when you've got your mince, do you not ever sort of add a bit of hot sauce to it and, you know, a bit of cheese, make it a burrito?
Well, I do now, listen
to
this.
Now,
I do
course.
Now.
That sounds great.
Do you ever spice up your fish and mash, Tom?
No. I consider pepper sauce too spicy. That is...
I've got a fish and mash chimichanga here for anybody who wants it.
absolutely gutted that was the first thing out of my mouth. That was...
Fish and mash. And oh, boy.
Oh, that's a disaster. And well, obviously, there's like, there are your bodybuilders. They're your people who are into their bodybuilding, and they have like just your chicken and your broccoli every single day.
Of course.
So maybe that kind of thing. Unless it's Morgan Spurlock and you're getting, you're just getting McDonald's 24/7.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, sorry. I should have read that bit. P.S. My fiance is Morgan
Spurlock.
I'm so sorry.
Can you, in that case, tell him to have another idea?
It does feel like some kind of psychological challenge that's being issued here. Well, here are my two. I've got two thoughts. I think it's some kind of psychological challenge, and I'm really trying to get my head around it. But I'm going to launch a small defence, just in the interest of parity, which is I'm going to say we apply that technique to breakfast and no one bats an eyelid.
Oh, mate.
That's a really good point.
That's really, really good. Yeah. That's really good.
You very happily have exactly the same breakfast every single morning. You don't think twice. Everything's great.
Yeah.
Bosh.
Yeah.
He's applying the breakfast method to another meal.
Yeah.
And we're hanging him out to dry for it. So I'm just going to put that out there.
What if all the breakfasts are like
some
incredibly
kind of
varied? If every single breakfast is like, today you've got shakshuka, tomorrow it's going to be full English.
He's doing kedgeree.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd love it. I mean, that could be the case. He's not just sitting down for a bit of toast and maybe some Rice Krispies.
Yeah.
He's really pushing the boat out.
This is the heartbreaking bit. I have suggested having the meal on alternate days. That is not a desperate plea. So reasonable.
Please.
To say, can we all, just on alternate days, let's go Monday and Wednesday with this meal.
Yeah.
And he's refusing. I can't get my head around it.
That
unless are we in the realm of, and Tom, you probably aren't aware of this kind of parlance, not being an ITV2 viewer, are we in the world of a freaky eater?
Oh, yes.
Is that like that guy who's been on TikTok a lot because they found clips of him from the early noughties going like, this family is disgusting, that guy?
Yeah.
Have you seen him?
I don't know who that guy is, but it sounds very much like that kind of thing. Yeah. When there was there was a lot of sort of shame-based food television, you know, like, or health, kind of inverted.
That was the name of our production company. We had it so good in the early noughties, Tom, you wouldn't believe.
My goodness.
The commissions kind of were rolling in. I tell you what, Fish and Mash, we'd have had a series out of you, mate.
That's both the early noughties and the 70s, because that would be a comedy double act, wouldn't it? Fish and Mash.
But maybe, is he a freaky eater? Because otherwise, what are we up against here?
But weren't freaky eaters, like, didn't they eat sort of insane stuff like, you know, ceiling tiles and stuff that like is, that?
That was really too freaky. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was freaky eaters after hours.
They'd eat Slender Man. You're like, that is freaky.
That was freaky eaters nights.
Yeah.
The normal freak eaters would be like, I only eat 4 fish fingers every single meal.
Yeah, yeah. Or chip. It's just mainly chips, isn't it? It was never.
Let's just play a hypothetical game here, though, of like, maybe the first time it happened.
Yeah.
You get home, I've made you, okay, sausage, mash and peas. Lovely.
Lovely, lovely stuff.
The next day.
Yeah.
You get home and there's sausage, mash and peas.
Yeah.
And you're going to go, okay, I'm going to let that ride. But it's, we did have it last night, didn't we? Well, maybe he has to get those sausages used up. But the third sausage, mash and peas.
Yeah.
That's a big conversation.
Are
right?
you trying to dispose of a body? Because something's going on.
In something's, mash. Yeah.
The mash tastes an awful lot like brains. Yeah. The sausages have got fingernails on them. What's going on here?
You got to worry as well. If you come home, sausage, mash and peas, and then also somehow he's got all last night's telly, he's got it like recorded and he's playing it again. So then you're like, and he's trying to convince you you're Groundhog Daying.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yes. That might be what's going on.
Maybe.
Well, you know what? Groundhog Day is a great example. I was thinking about, because what he does in Groundhog Day is attempt to make it better and better. Right.
Yes. Yeah.
When I first heard this, I thought of an interview I read years and years ago, back in the 90s, with Liam Howlett of The Prodigy.
Sure.
And they sort of said to him, Fat of the Land, got some amazing songs in it. Quite a lot of it's quite samey. And he went, here's the thing. Every day I go into the studio and try to do the best version of the same song. Firestarter is Breathe. Like all of these things. Yeah. I've been trying to write this song. Like, and I'm trying to get it as good as I possibly can, and maybe that's what he's doing. Maybe one day,
to us as well with sketches, doesn't it? Really, we only really wrote 4 sketches in a 10-year career of performing sketches.
Yeah,
are
you
suggesting just with different costumes,
different volumes?
Are you saying that he's trying to achieve some kind of like sausage, mash and peas nirvana?
Yeah,
where like
exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, Clarky likes to talk about that sushi chef who had, you know, dreams
of hero dreams
sushi.
Of sushi, yeah,
yeah. The Michelin star guy. You know, isn't that just he's doing the same thing over and over? Isn't that what the best chefs do, actually? Any Michelin star chef is just reproducing the same perfect meal over and over and over again.
Is there another bit in the email where she just explains that, like, for a whole 10 years before he started cooking, he was just folding napkins, folding towels over and over again before he was ready?
He's a Michelin star chef. Sorry, she has left that out.
That is mad that is it Hero Dreams of Sushi that he makes his apprentices just, like, fold towels for, like, 2 years before they can even touch a bit of fish?
It's all part of the
test. I feel like you get most of your sushi learning through touching fish, right?
I'd say, 90% of it.
I would worry that I would be on autopilot and I would serve up a load of napkins to
you get too used to it. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly, you had me coiling cables for 4 years before you let me go on, Mike. Is that what's going on here?
That's exactly what's going on.
You guys were making top hats out of bits of cardboard for 3 years before ever doing sketch comedy. And it was... I respect it.
So we need to give, we've talked about for plenty of time how absolutely crackerjack this whole situation is. But what's our advice to our friend Rebecca? Because
she said she's tried a bunch of different things.
Okay, I'm going to sound like an absolute shill here. I'm going to sound like I'm in the pocket of big menu box. Gusto. Is what I'm going to say.
HelloFresh. One of them, right?
Yeah.
If they want a sponsor, we'd be happy to do it.
Exactly.
But,
she works in a shop though, right?
Oh, yeah.
So maybe she can do it. She can bring her own gusto to the proceedings.
Got you. I like the fact she says, I work in a shop, which I really like because most people would sort of say, what kind of shop? But I like the fact she probably lives in some kind of like storybook village where there's like a shop.
The local shops.
Yeah, it's everything, which I think is quite nice.
It could, but yeah, it could be some sort of like tiny little hamlet where, I mean, you know, she's known as the local shopkeeper. He's known as the local nutcase. All of the characters.
Well, they could be stuck in a children's, because you would have the same meal every night in a children's TV show, wouldn't you?
That's true.
Rebecca, please do get back in touch with us to tell us if you're stuck inside a children's TV show. We will jump inside of CBBC and try and pull you out.
I think that here's this very simple key to it, right? Mm. You work in a shop, you've got access to plenty of ingredients, so you need to come home with a surprise ingredient every day and ready, steady, cook it and be like, here's your culinary challenge. Turn it into a game and, you know, see if that can break the monotony.
Yeah, the worry there is that he cooks the meal and then has but a side of mashed turnip. You know, like whatever it is, whatever you've done, he just does it in the most perfunctory way possible. And what about this as a sort of a version of that? So you don't just bring the ingredient. You know, 22 years together, we know that. Keep it fresh, keep it spicy, but coming up with themed date nights. Right? So you say, we're going to do Italian night, right? We're going to do Italian night. And then he can't be served.
It's sausage and mash and the peas. Not again.
The fresh is the sausage.
You can't just put it down on the table and say, Mamma Mia. That doesn't count. But yeah, like you do, you know, you do Brazilian night, you do Argentinian night, you do Indian night, you know. Obviously, I'd focus on the food for those rather than on any kind of you know, like I'd say just focus on the cuisine, really. Yeah. You know, anyway, we don't need to go into that, but yeah, sure. I think that could be a way of, you know, he'll realize that, oh, if I want to make this night fun for both of us, I've got to bend my rigid menu to fit the theme. I feel like this could be it.
I
like that a lot as well. And after 22 years, I think not only will you find up, you know, you might be spicing up your kitchen, you might be spicing up some other bedrooms as well. I don't even know what that means.
Absolutely. Take that fish and mash, smear it all over your body. And absolutely go to town on each other.
That's a happy ending.
Beef solved.
From the sorting like a beef solved.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is from Kate via beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com.
Get in touch, please.
Yes, please. Hello, I'm one of the Pappy's fans who has selfishly chuckled along to many a beef while never offering up my own. Thanks for all the podcasts. I genuinely love them.
Oh, that's nice. Oh, that's a nice... That sort of stuff always gets you to the top of the pile, by the way. The beef could be terrible, but if it starts with a compliment...
Weirdly, those ones never end up in the spam folder, do they? Strange,
Sandy. Also, to your guest, Tom, I really enjoy The Hauntening, although it's clear that some episodes you spend more time on than others. She's got me banged to rights there.
Wow.
That is...
incredibly prescient that she did.
I don't know how she did that. Me and my flatmate, brackets husband, another, have been together for 8 years and happily married for 3. But married for 6. So why does he have me down on my full name in his phone? First name and last name.
Great.
Like I'm a
great
business name. Contact he met at a conference once, not someone he shares a bed with and who washes his pants. Is he worried about mixing me up with another Kate? Can he not deduce that the Kate WhatsApping to ask him to pick up some milk is his wife and not another lesser Kate? I should be the main Kate. I'm not asking him. I'm not asking for him to do anything cringy, like change my contact name to Wifey Pops with a smattering of heart emojis. But surely a phone contact entry should be, what do we say? Front names only for your flipping wife. Cheers, bye.
Oh, this is brilliant. That's a pure beef.
I love it. When I see other people, I'm going to name names, Ellis James. When I see Ellis James... And it rings and it says Izzy Sooty. You go, come on. Come on. You've got 2 kids now. Surely your feet are under the table enough to say, I could take the sooty off.
Well, in Ellis James's credit, though, when he met Izzy Sooty, she was Izzy Sooty. Like, if I started going out with a celebrity, their full name staying in my phone.
It's not, Dobby off Peep Show. That would be, a low blow.
So we have to show our cards without, we'd have to reveal full names, but what is your, we're all married here. What's your married partner in your phone as? Front name, second name, a nickname. Let's lay it out there.
Front name, Charlie.
Just front name.
Yeah. And the number of times I will... Like, for some reason as well, this is the mad thing about my phone. I don't know why. If you type Charlie into the little search at the top to find the name, it will always find me every other Charlie I've ever met.
Your coat dealer, first on the list.
The number of times I've nearly sexted Charlie Baker. Unbelievable. But yeah, but so no, always Charlie. And I don't know. There must have been it's too long now to remember, but there must have been a period when I went, nope, I'm losing the last name. I'm just making you Charlie in the phone.
I'm full name.
Oh!
Full name.
Here we go.
Right.
Here we go.
And you know what? It was a misunderstanding. I once saw my name in her phone, which is a weird thing. Yeah. She'd lost her phone. I was calling it and I found it. Yeah. And I was Tom Neenan in brackets ice. And I thought I was so cool. The coolest guy in the world. It's in case of emergency. So that is...
Not a Top Gun style nickname.
No. I was genuinely like, wow, I've got a call sign. That's awesome.
Iceman Nina. Yeah. That's really cool.
Nish Kumar Maverick.
Yeah. We've all got that. I mean, that's... what about Mr. Parry? What are you rocking?
Well, not good, actually. I'll say my wife... has me in as Tom Parry, so I'm in her phone as, even though I'm now Tom Parry Wicks because we're married. So she's kind of
dead naming it.
She's dead naming me.
Yeah.
And she's in mine as wife because in capitals.
Yeah,
which obviously happened immediately post wedding because it was very exciting having been husband and wife, and I kind of did it and I thought, oh, she'll have me as husband, and here we go, and I've just solidly stayed as Tom Parry in her phone.
Interesting. See, this all comes from a paranoia I have about someone getting my phone, and it started when I was at secondary school and I first got a phone, and I was really worried that someone would get my phone, because you couldn't really lock them back then, could you, this sort of thing, and then go to like Mum Mob and then send like something horrible, like, because it's my, and that was always my practice. So I want everyone in as their full name, nothing else, as that's my paranoia.
So you've got your own parents in as their full name.
I full named them. Yeah.
No way.
Everyone's full named. Wow.
So the paranoia of somebody getting your phone and sending them a rude emoji is so great that you still have your. That's unbelievable.
So what happens for you in terms of ice?
That's someone's a good point.
Someone's got a potluck.
I would, in that case, I'd hope if I'm on the ground, something's happened to me, an emergency situation, they would look at my phone and go to my recents and just see the person that I call sort of basically every day.
Yeah.
And then obviously they'd end up calling, you know, Betfair. But like once that's been, you know, they go, oh, an actual person. And poor see old, that, yeah.
Poor old Charlie Baker's getting a call. We've got this guy. He's been hit by a bus. Is there anything you can do?
Good man to have around an emergency, I guess.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
He sent you loads of dick pics, so you must know him well.
What about the covert changing? Ever coverted, like covertly changed your like contact or someone else's contact in someone else's phone?
Yes.
For a bit of a laugh.
Yes.
Yeah.
In fact, weirdly, this is so odd, but Izzy Sooty, I
what?
Changed, yeah. So so the other day, because I was going to go and see Izzy at the Soho and she was sorting me out with a ticket and she was just like, she was screen grabbing who she was getting tickets for and sending them to her agent and she'd forgotten I'm in her phone as Mr. Party Pants because we did a gig, and this is a gig probably now 13, 14 years ago, we did a gig together at Tom's cousin's hotel. Tom's cousin used to run this brilliant hotel and would book us all to do comedy gigs. We were all basically open spots and had no right to be doing comedy to people who paid good money. And then we would get absolutely blasted on like very expensive whiskey afterwards. Mm. And for some reason, he's no longer the manager of that hotel. That hotel no longer exists. But it was great fun. We'd always get blasted. And one night, for some reason, I don't know, you know, genuinely, I might have been saying to Izzy, Why has Ellis got Izzy Sooty as a full name in there? I tell you what, I'm getting your phone and changing my name to Mr. Party Pants. But yeah, so that's, I'm definitely Mr. Party Pants.
Am I still in your phone as Vernon K?
You are in my phone as Vernon K.
Yeah.
Yes, you are. And I occasionally, someone will see the phone ringing and go, do you know Vernon K? Like,
that's great.
If I did, I'd be putting him under a false name. the reason Tom's in my phone as Vernon K, and I've never changed it, was, so this is now, not this is 12 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
We'd had a terrible, it was my 30th birthday. We'd had a terrible gig in Leicester.
Oh no!
And it was Leicester Comedy Festival. They put us up in a cinema. It would have been a tough old gig. There was one audience member who was really kind of getting into it, really enjoying it. And at the break, they came up to us and said, "Oh yeah, we've removed her." We're like, what?
What?
Like, yeah, she was making too much noise. Like, it's not an actual cinema. It's a comedy gig. She was literally only fucking laughing and they kicked her out. So it was a really miserable time. And I was having a KFC in the car feeling like this is not the way to turn 30.
This is your 30th birthday.
This is my 30th birthday, okay, yeah. With a KFC in the car. And then suddenly my phone starts ringing or starts buzzing with text messages. And it was around the time when Vernon K had been caught done sexting a Page 3 girl.
Yep.
And so Tom, during the break, had changed his name in my phone to Vernon K.
Lovely.
And was sending me absolute grumble. And it took my mediocre birthday and absolutely turned it around. I was laughing
That's
my head
wonderful.
Off. I loved it. So forever now, Tom is Vernon K. To the point, because I obviously see your name a lot I see Vernon K in my phone a lot.
Yeah.
Occasionally, I will see like Vernon K, like, you know, written down in listings, guys. Not very often, but sure.
Yeah.
But I will see it. I'll see it written down. I'll be like, oh, and my brain will have to do that little think first of going, yeah. Oh, that's Tom. No, of course, it's not Tom. Tom's real name isn't Vernon K.
That's Perry got himself a gig on the Family Fortunes. That's a turn up for the books.
Good for him, actually.
Yeah.
Good for him. Fair play. Didn't see it coming, but fair play.
Great work. Oh, wow. I love those. Is that? Are we heading towards a solution which could be a fun, like, not a nickname, but like a fun sort of in-joke name?
Fun in-joke name. That's the way to do it.
Yeah.
Fun in-joke name. And I think, you know, like, it's obviously, we're not condoning anybody picking up their partner's phone and going through it. That's very much a, you know, that's a trust level you have to establish yourselves.
Yeah.
But if there's some fun way of incorporating,
yeah,
you know, a little joke. Just all you need is just a little bit of a little
just
bit
makes
of
you smile every time. Every time you look at your phone, yeah. You're like, oh, that's reminded me of a time we came up with a joke about something that, you know, could be quite enjoyable. I don't know.
I think it's nice, yeah. Something that's personal just to you guys. You know, mm-hmm. Like
I have another suggestion which is less fun, perhaps.
Okay.
Which is
let's close on that.
You've got to track down and find someone with your name. And bring them into your husband's life.
Right.
And then at some point, he's going to need to take her number.
The Dave Gorman approach.
And it's going to be, you know, Kate, Janet.
The old Kate Janet.
It's the old, yeah, everyone knows a Kate Janet. Sure. Shouldn't be too hard to find.
Yeah.
Whatever, you know, the surname's, whatever it is, Janet or whatever.
It's Kate Janet now.
And then he's going to go, oh, I'm married to Kate Janet. So then one of you's going to have to go, and I bet one of you's going to have to change, and I bet he'd change you.
Next thing you know, she's looking at her phone, and she's there under Kate Janet brackets 2. And that would be... Then you're in trouble, aren't you?
Worse yet, if the other one is Kate Janet 2.0. That would be worse. Oh, my God, yeah.
I like it.
Well, thanks very much to Kate Janet for getting it done. Hopefully that's beef solved.
Yeah.
Beef from the sorting out your beef!
Beef solved.
Right, this is a very exciting moment now, because this is our first ever... official, it's our first ever official free range beef. We're moving outside of the flat to see if anyone has any beefs outside of the flat. This is our before we realized they're all going to the spam folder, this is our way of broadening the net a little bit.
So, do we have a sting or anything or a jingle free range beef?
We don't, but Tom, if you'd like to give us a little something just as a little holding sting, that'd be really good.
Okay. It's going to be a little scene, if that's okay.
Oh, lovely.
Great.
Let's say this steak is very tender, sir. That, sir, is because it's free-range beef.
Bow down! Oh, I love... That was a great... You know, the words and the music there. It was like Lloyd Webber and Tim Rice the first time they got together. It was a perfect pairing.
I'm regretting the double sir there. I wanted to differentiate between the two characters of the diner and the waiter, but I don't think I did that well enough. So I'll have to live with it now. We're not going to go back. But
I loved it.
We'll
I loved it.
We'll clip that up and use it every time.
The old double sir itself. Right, this is a pitch share beef from Gareth via
Beef Brothers Podcast.
A pitch share beef.
Okay.
Okay, not a flat share beef, but a pitch share beef.
Football.
Ah. The beautiful game. Greetings, Pappy's Corsham team and esteemed guest. Now we're allowed to present you with beef from pastures other. I'd like to share a football pitch based beef with you. I play every Monday on a pitch that we have booked and paid for from 6:30 p.m. We have it for an hour and then another group promptly kicks us off at 7:30 p.m. And I mean promptly too. The problem is that sometimes local ruffians are already on the pitch when we arrive. I'm pretty certain they don't pay. But despite having no entitlement to any pitch time, they tend to overrun and mill about, delaying the start of our game. I'm doubtful whinging will get us anywhere. I remember teenagers from the time when I was one. Threatening isn't really an option. We're not an intimidating bunch. Any creative solutions? Many thanks, Gareth. Okay, so they're being bullied by some adolescents here.
Tough.
I will say one thing. There's something about, I don't know, it just takes me back to school days, but there's something about a group of, if I see a group of men my age playing five-a-side, I go, fine, not a problem. If I see a group of kids, even if they're like sort of 12, 13-year-olds, I suddenly like tense up and I don't know what's going to happen. And I don't know if I'm going for a jog in the park and I see some kids, A, I don't want to kick the football to me because I don't want to have to kick it back. But B, I'm just worried. I don't know what they're going to do. They're not going to invite me in for a game. They see in the state I'm in jogging around the park. There's no way they're going to involve me. So I don't know what it is, but something very anxiety-making about that situation.
I'd take it even outside of playing football, I just think on a playing field.
Any group
of more than four teenagers on a playing field.
Terrifying.
Danger, 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 danger.
See, when that first started, I was worried that what they turn up at the pitch, and but the kids aren't even playing football. I thought they'd all be just like sat in a circle around like a barbecue, like sharing a joint or something. And then you're in trouble. Because these people do not respect any laws.
They're all huffing those balloons, you know, they hit the crack that they're...
Having a barbecue, though.
I don't know what I think young people get up to nowadays.
They're enjoying a lovely plate of fish and mash and a joint. Because I know, when I've got the munchies, there's nothing I like more.
Yeah. A bit of parsley sauce on the barbie, mate.
A boil in the bag fish with a scoop of mash on the side.
It's a boil in the bag fish, you're right.
Of course it's a boil in the bag fish. Yeah. Right. So what do we do?
Well, one of my suggestions here is, again, you're trying to avoid confrontation. I've got two suggestions. I'll leave my first one, which is obviously they use around train stations to try and get youths to disperse. They play classical music very loudly. And they don't tend to loiter. And I kind of thought, what if, like, Flight of the Valkyrie style, you and your guys get, like, some big, you know, even if it was like, I'm thinking of, dum, 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 is it Nutcracker? Dum, 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 dum. Dum, 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 dum,
yeah, the Sugar Plum Fairy. Dance the Sugar Plum Fairy.
Sugar Plum Fairy from the Nutcracker. If you start blasting that out from your kit bag.
Yeah.
I think it would make them feel slightly challenged in their space. And nice. I'm not sure they'd be that comfortable sticking around.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Or they get too into it and then it becomes a
well, then you've got an amateur dramatics theatre company. Christmas is actually sorted.
Yeah.
Kind of like Billy Elliot style, you discover the next diamond in the rough.
Yeah.
You could be the next Matthew Bourne. I thought you were going to say there's like a frequency you can play, because there is. There used to be
come back to the brown note?
No, we're not. I'm not playing my brown note joker. there is a frequency that you can play that only, you know, like only ears that haven't been damaged basically by years of just being alive can hear. They used to play it around places to, you know, like, you know, around the time of the antisocial behaviour orders, the old ASBOs, when that was in the papers all the time, there would be like shops that would play it if they were in a particularly ASBO-y area. And the kids couldn't handle it, but all the pensioners could carry on shopping because they were fine with it. It was like a very high pitched noise. I thought that's what you were going to suggest. But I think the Sugar Plum Fairy is great.
Charming.
It's really good, yeah.
Or like Ode to Joy. Imagine if you came around the corner on the playing field with some ghetto blasters above your head.
Yeah.
Kind of John Cusack style. Dun, 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 dun. It makes you sound faintly kind of Champions League.
Yeah.
And people think, oh, hello, the big boys are here.
They know what they're up to.
Might give you a bit of a rival.
Surely it's like if... Kids, the one thing kids are all allergic to is the idea that, like, adults, well, they just think whatever adults do is rubbish. So could you, like, be over-enthusiastic and be like, I tell you what, seeing as you're still on the pitch, why don't we all, let's all play a game and, like...
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. Quite fun.
Well, it's good unless it backfires and they say, bring it on, Grandad, and then they thrash you.
Yeah. And they're like, your skins, and then you have to, like, take off your shirt.
They've kind of got bragging rights for life then.
Oh, yeah.
We beat a bunch of old blokes.
Yeah. Which they definitely would do as well.
Yeah.
I'm not a big football player. I hate to break that to you. But is 6:30? That's a bit late, isn't it? For a, like, when are you factoring dinner, your fish and mash into that? Directly
it's a
after
good point,
or?
Because you can't have a 5 o'clock tea and still be able to run around for, you know,
exactly.
Even if you're not playing the full 90 minutes.
Mm.
But I think seven thirty. Quick low alcoholic pint,
nice.
You know, a 4% pint, and then back for tea at 8 o'clock. I think that's a pretty decent evening, right? I think that would work out.
Yeah.
Here's another idea.
I've never belonged to a five-a-side football team.
No,
it sounds like you've got the gist down pat, though. I would absolutely sign up for your team.
Yeah.
Half six to half seven, low alcohol pint, home for tea. Sounds great.
So nice.
Kit yourself out really well. All go and invest so that you kind of have a team tracksuit, a team coach, all the kit bags,
and arrive like you're a lower league football team coming to train.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Command their respect.
That's exactly it, isn't it? It's about the attitude, isn't it?
Wear your headphones to the pitch like the Premier League players, you know, getting off the bus.
Hire
like
a massive
an Olympic diver. Yeah.
A massive coach that drops you off.
Book a coach and hire 300 supporters.
Get one of your mates to dress up as a giant lion in a football strip and run around and do cartwheels before the game, blowing kisses to the teenagers.
That's it. It in turns to be a mascot, and the mascot gets on the pitch and intimidates the kids until they leave.
Love it. What's the mascot of? What do kids hate?
Hard work. Is it a big SATS textbook?
A big SATS textbook. It's a tricolour French textbook that's going to run at them.
If you want to make it really a fish, Gareth, get on the blower to the Saudis. Get the Saudis involved. They're dipping their oily toe in the world
they
of football,
love a bit
aren't
of
they?
Sports yeah. washing.
Sure yeah. they are. Sure they are.
Sign Kieran Trippier. this is, get the Saudis to fund you and become a proper outfit. Yeah. I think the mascot might be the actual solution, though.
Just run on.
One of you has to take it in turns of being a mascot. You'll feel liberated. It won't feel like a confrontation because you'll be up doing cartwheels and trying to tickle them. Yeah. And they won't be up for that.
I haven't seen that documentary with other sketch group compadre Humphrey Carr buying a football team with Deadpool. But I understand that like 90% of the running time is them just trying to just sort of edge off children from playing on the pitch and trying to get them on.
Really? Yeah.
Say what you like about the sketch groups of the mid-noughties, but no one had that the Penny Dreadfuls would go on to own a football team.
That is
Deadpool.
Yeah. Imagine putting money on that. Imagine going into William Hill with that. Okay, no, that feels like more of Idiots of Ants kind of deal.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You'd have had them down.
Well, they had the uniform, didn't they? The
exactly. Yeah.
So I think that's it. I mean, it's either a hire every week or a buy. I mean, if you want to rotate the mascot, you know.
Yeah.
If it's quite a fun thing. Whoever's man of the match each
gets
week
gets to be next week's mascot. Yeah.
Gets to go down the Partica, get a costume from Smithies. And you're the footballing alligator. It's great. I mean, this is
That's
great.
That's fun. That's fun. Oh, no one's hurt by that, are they? No one's upset.
Unless the kids grow to love the mascot and you end up spending most of the hour posing for selfies with the kids. Like a trip to Disneyland.
Yes. Yeah, it's like Mr. Blobby. What started as an agent of chaos becomes a beloved countercultural figure.
This is true. Yeah. So this is why I think rotate the mascot. Never let any one mascot develop a fan base.
No.
Because if you've seen the photos of what Blobby Dan looks like now, it'll bring a tear to your eye and you don't want that.
It's not worth it.
The Saudis can't help you there.
And you don't want them to Mr. Wimpy-like identify a weak spot that they can attack. Like, once you find out that Wimpy's nose would give after a few punches. You know, like... They'll test that costume for weaknesses. Absolutely. And you can't have that.
Yeah. Like the dinosaurs in Jurassic Park. Every week will be different.
Yeah.
How are the ankles? Pretty strong. Okay. All right. Next with the neck.
And we're saying that you want them to become, like, start off, like you say, an alligator, but maybe become a bit more abstract. So, like, one of they are, like, you come on as parental abandonment or something. Like,
yeah. Like, I've come as your chances of ever getting on the property ladder. Yeah.
It's just it's a very tall ladder with an avocado at the top of it. Right, beef sold.
It's ladder-cardo. Ladder-cardo's back.
Ladder-cardo.
Ladder-cardo. Beef from the sorting out your beef. Beef solved. Right, Tom, do you have a beef for us to solve?
Yes, so I do have a problem, and this is first world problems, but the neighbour who, what's it called? They're not our opposite neighbour because it's not opposite on the street. They're our opposite, but on the back garden side.
Okay. Your back
neighbours.
Your back-to-back neighbour?
Back-to-back neighbours.
Yeah.
Our back-to-back neighbours. They have a big old tree. and they are very, that they say the tree is gives them perfect like shade to sunbathe in the summer, and also provides sort of thing in winter. But for us, all it is an opportunity for pigeons and birds to sort of poo into our garden, and occasionally branches fall off. We have tried to negotiate with them. They are not open to negotiation.
Oh,
I genuinely love help with this beef.
Yes. So talk us through your negotiations so far. Have you said we'll trim it on our side?
Like, yes,
we'll send a tree surgeon up, we'll pay for it and everything. Just yep. trim it on our side, so mm-hmm. there's no overhang.
Yeah.
And they've said, no way, Jose, it's our tree.
That, yeah, they say we'd rather not do that. And I've said it will just be stuff that overhangs our property, not having it. The arguments they're using are to do with climate change. Hard to argue with that. I don't want to, you know.
It's a good argument.
It's a good argument. Yeah.
Good one to have up the old sleeve.
Yeah.
But I mean, it is,
yeah,
you're not felling the entire tree. You're just taking off a few branches. That's, if anything, isn't that, like, you know, tree surgeons aren't monsters. They're there to help trees, aren't they? They're supposed to make, you know, it'll grow more lustrous on the other side, surely. Is that not the case? But anyway, listen, you've tried that, and that's not...
During our texting conversation, the word pollarding has turned up, and that is, that has caused some controversy. Because
I don't know what pollarding is. What is pollarding?
Wasn't she in Heidi Hart? Yeah.
Just wants to be a yellow coat. It's when you...
I just want to cut down half your tree.
It is trimming a tree so it grows back healthier,
and they won't accept even some very gentle pollarding.
No.
Well, if they're giving you tree overhang,
yeah,
then they should be very, very happy with you building a tree house.
Oh, that's fun.
If they're saying, like, that goes over the property. That's fine. You know, you go, well, look,
if whatever's on, yeah, whatever bit of the tree that's on your fence, you get to do what you want in that tree.
So we won't get rid of it. If anything, quite the opposite, we'll add more wood to it.
We've got an office space there. You could you get a good enough tree house up there. You're actually adding to your property.
I think you've got. It's
a little
also
podcast,
like,
studio.
Did you ever have a tree house as a kid?
I didn't, but I have been gifted by my father-in-law, because I'm a big Doctor Who fan. He built me a life-size TARDIS.
What? Which... Well, in which case, get the crane out.
Yeah.
And stick it in a tree.
It resides at his house at the minute, but I want to get it down and put it in the tree. That would work perfectly.
TARDIS the tree, mate.
You've got a TARDIS the tree.
I mean,
as a big Whovian, has that ever happened where it's ever been the Doctor on the ground going, oh, bloody hell, looking up at some sort of oak tree going, oh, well, that's, yeah. Oh god, it's going to take more than my sonic screwdriver to get that down. that's
a problem.
What you can say to your neighbours is, I didn't contact the tree surgeon, but I did.
Contact a doctor.
That's not expecting the text.
Yeah, that's incredible.
They come out of their house and you've TARDIS the tree.
Yeah, nothing they can do. Absolutely nothing.
I love it.
That's the dream.
I think that's it. And if, you know, it's hanging over on your property.
Yeah.
Not a court in the world that will convict you of anything there. It's great. That's great.
I'm absolutely covered from every which way.
Great.
As is the garden.
Yeah. From any light.
Say goodbye. Enjoy getting rickets. but apart from that,
I'll have a TARDIS in a tree. I'll be happy.
What a way to do it. Love it. My God. There's definitely going to, you know, there'll be a BuzzFeed article about you, certainly.
Oh, yeah. The mad guy who put the TARDIS in a tree. But I'll love it. I'll be happy.
The mad guy is being sued by his neighbours for TARDISing their tree.
Yeah, yeah.
The mad guy who died when a TARDIS fell out of a tree on his head.
It's all right. He was on his way out anyway. He had gout because he was only eating fish and mash every day.
Beef solved.
Nice.
Tom, thank you so much for doing this. This has been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you. It's been what so fun. I feel like I've actually come away with some solutions now, so I feel a lot better about things.
Yeah, you know what? We are sort of turning a corner here where we've started occasionally giving some decent advice.
That's risky.
Once in a while, we do actually give some good advice. So nice. If people want to find you online or listen to more of your stuff or mm-hmm. any of that kind of thing, where can people find you?
Sure, I'm at T Neenan on Twitter, and I'm not sure when this is going out, but at the end in October there'll be a new series of The Hauntening where I've spent ages on all the episodes and I think they're all really good, and they'll be that'll be out in October, and they're repeating the third series in September, so on Radio 4 you can check those out as well.
Is it all on Sounds, or has some of it disappeared off of Sounds?
Because it's a disappeared bit... off Sounds like a phantom. Oh, and wow. The Late Night Mash as well. Late Night Mash is back on Dave.
Oh, brilliant! Yeah,
from next week, which is doesn't right. mean anything to this. Which is
well, no, this is going to go out next week, so it will be.
Oh, okay. Now watch
from,
it now
from this week. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
So that's brilliant. Good. New host.
Mm-hmm. New host.
Very exciting. I mean,
we're all very excited. We're going to see what exciting sort of directions this takes us in. But don't worry, it'll be still be the same razor sharp satire from your friends at Late Night Mash.
Love it.
Great. Great party line.
All right. Well, pleasure chatting to you, man. And speak to you very soon.
Thanks so much for having me. Goodbye.
Cheers, Tom. Bye-bye. From the sorting out your beef. I loved that. It was a really lovely chat.
Really lovely chat.
Yeah, it was. Really lovely chat.
What a great guy.
Yeah, really great guy. Thank you for sending in your beefs. There were some wonderful ones in there.
Yes.
Keep them coming in. Keep filling that spam folder.
Beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. Beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. Get in touch and your beef could be read out. I'd love it.
And as always, if you are a fan of the show, please head along to the Patreon and consider hopping on board the Patreon community. You get an extra podcast episode every Thursday. You also get bonus beefs. We recorded a bonus beef with Tom Neenan that will go out exclusively on the Patreon feed. You get to be part of a community. It's a lovely place to be. And also, most of all, you get to support us in putting out this podcast, and we wouldn't be able to do it without the Patreon.
Well, so, Tom, we can talk about it all we like, but maybe it's a good idea to give people a little glimpse of exactly what it is we're doing over on the Patreon.
What?
Go on.
You're joking, man.
Let's have a little bit of a preview of the kind of stuff you can enjoy over on the Patreon if you join today at patreon.com/Pappy's Flatshare.
He spent ages rigging up a deodorant can lid full of talcum powder to the bathroom door frame with sellotape so that when I opened the door, it would tip over and pour onto my head.
Can I just say, a deodorant can lid? Come on. You know, we're talking about a bucket of water normally on top of a door frame. Mm. A deodorant can lid is tiny.
When you were a kid, I was obsessed. I was obsessed with rigging things above door frames to drop.
Of course.
A bit of sellotape. I had an old toilet roll with a ping pong ball and a thread going up it with a bit of sellotape on the door so that if you open the door, it would pull the thread and the ping pong ball should land. Like, I'd do that for like 3 hours. They'd never work.
You're a regular MacGyver.
It's a Wallace and Gromit.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
So, he'd spent ages rigging this up so that when I opened the door, it would tip over and pour onto my head. He called me into the bathroom. I opened the door, but nothing happened. And then we got distracted by whatever we had planned that morning and went out. But when we got home, our dad had a small white patch on his head and a grumpy look on his face.
And that's better, though, isn't it?
That's better, yeah.
That's better. I love it.
My only attempt at an April Fool's was when I was about 7 or 8. I went into my brother's room at 6 a.m. and said, "Wake up, Ben. It's 8 o'clock. Time to get up." He said, "Is it?" And then I said, "No." And crumpled into tears at having been so mean.
Oh, no, Tom.
So really, I guess the April Fool's was that he had to console a crying boy at 6 a.m. for no reason. Anyway, I hope you enjoy them, Tom. Love those.
Yeah. There is something funny about that whole, you're told that lying is so bad.
Yeah.
You know? Mm. It's really bad to lie. It's really, really bad. You should always try and tell the truth. That it actually gets you, you know, like, getting caught in a lie, even a lie that you've gone, this is going to be funny. It's like
the worst.
Emotions are there, aren't they?
Yeah.
Oh, it's really, really hard. Well, although when you learn to lie convincingly, it's great. Loved it. Loved it. Never look back.
Is that true?
No.
No.
We'll happily accept mild pranks as well. Like, April Fool's fails are great, but mild pranks or pranks that backfire on yourself. Oh, my God. Absolutely love it. Absolutely love it.
Well, there you go. It's that sort of thing. It sounds great.
It's great. So,
it's
yeah.
It's that sort of thing.
It's that sort of thing. So don't forget to like and subscribe to this podcast and leave us reviews and all of that kind of stuff. Recommend it to your friends. Join the Patreon. Get tickets to see Pappy's Flatshare Slam Down. All of that kind of stuff. And join us next week when we'll have another fantastic episode of Pappy's Flatshare.
Today's episode was produced by Emma Corsham.
Corsham team.
Cheers, everyone. Bye. Will you please be upstanding for today's Patreon Neighborhood Watch roll call? In the red corner, weighing in for the love of God, he's even wearing a sandal. He'll smash your mouth, but then kiss it too. It's the lightning fast Joe Randall.
Oh, yes. Ding, 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 ding. In the... Which one? In the green corner. Weighing in for the first and maybe final time.
Oh, what? Oh, no.
He's brought some weapons. He's brought some nunchucks, man. He's even brought a spear, son. Yes, indeed. It's the... It's the super welterweight Kiefer Pearson.
Standing above that corner, I don't know what he's doing up there. He's wearing a hat. He's having a smoke. He's even been to Henley. Well, well, get down from there, Simon, and stop smoking indoors. Simon Denley.
Oh, dear. Yes, he's having a smoke. Indoors over in the what year do you think this is? 2004? Come on.
Please,
you can't smoke indoors no
smell.
More. Let me tell you, you can't smoke in here if you want to. You can smoke over there, and I said that to the pugilist. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
There's someone called Oh yes. It's quite a tricky one to make it seem like you finished the sentence there, but oh yeah.
There's a terrible smell coming from under the ring. Let's have a look who's under there.
That's to do with your body hygiene there, Tom, isn't it?
There's a moldy lettuce. It's an iceberg. but I can't smell the lettuce because someone else is smoking indoors. Will you please put out that cigarette?
Smoking indoors.
There is a ban in this country, Adam Goldberg.
Oh, that's such always such a sad sight when someone brings fresh groceries to the boxing to gee on the boxers and no one can smell the wares because of people insisting on firing up a Lambert and Butler indoors.
Please
no. Don't
it's
do
against
that.
The law. We'll lose our license.
I can't sniff that carrot. I can't sniff that button mushroom. I can't even sniff that asparagus. And as I said the same thing to my dear grocer, Owen Lewis. Asparagus.
I've had an absolute shocker here because whilst I've been watching this boxing match, I've been boiling up a lovely ham hock. But boy, can I smell it? No.
You've had a shocker there, my boy.
I've had a shocker here because I've been boiling up this ham hock. But boy, can I smell it? No, because sat just 3 seats away from me, smoking a big fat cigar despite the ban that has been in place now for over 20 years. It's Callum Peacock.
It's Callum Peacock. Yes. Callum Peacock getting in the way of your ham hock there.
Will you please stop smoking indoors?
Please stop smoking indoors, guys. Let me tell you now, I was trying to eat a delicious vegetable stew. That's what I was trying to do. I had the pot a bubbling and a boiling. Oh boy.
Good to me now.
I was thinking I'm gonna eat tonight, friends. I'm gonna eat till my belly bursts, and I'm gonna eat till my trousers are bulging at the seams.
You've earned it, brother.
I've earned it. If anyone's earned it, it's old Muggins here. And let me tell you now, my trousers didn't get a chance to burst at the seams, because with my first mouthful, I couldn't taste nout but smoke. Because
you were indoors.
The Benson and Hedges bastard was firing up a cancer stick and blowing the fumes directly up my nostril, getting all onto my taste buds. And let me tell you now, my trousers couldn't burst at the seams due to the bastard Leon Eames.
Oh, no. Well, that concludes today.
Don't smoke indoors, folks.
Two things. Don't smoke indoors, and let's get ready to rumble. It concludes today's Patreon Neighborhood Watch roll call. Please distinguish those cigarettes.
You've got to distinguish them. And if you can extinguish them as well, actually. That was the problem. We said, please distinguish your cigarettes. And everybody put a top hat on their cigarette and smoked away. Oh, my God. All those people smoking smoking a Hamlet with a monocle on it. It's our own fault.
Indoors.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.